The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated. This time I invite the children to come forward for a brief message. Okay, great. Hey guys, have a seat right here. All right. Everybody got a place? Okay, I got something I want to show you this morning. All right. See this? Big picture, huh? You know who this is?
No.
This is Martin Luther. This is actually, it's a copy of an actual painting that was made by him a long time ago. You ever heard of Martin Luther before?
I have.
You have? Good. You have? Okay. What have you heard about Martin Luther?
You forget.
You forget. Well, he lived a long time ago, about 500 years ago. He was a pastor and a teacher in the church. He actually started out as a priest. Then he got married to a lady called Catherine was her name. And they had several children. And today, in the church, we especially remember Martin Luther. Today, we call this Reformation Sunday, as Pastor Mike already mentioned this morning. The actual Reformation Day is October 31st. And I know, actually, when everybody says October 31st, what do you think of?
Today's my birthday.
Oh, that's your birthday? Well, today's your birthday. I knew you were going to get that in. Oh, we think of October 31st, we think of Halloween. But actually, it's also Reformation Day. We're remembering it today before it actually gets here. On October the 31st, 1517, it's a long time ago, Martin Luther posted on the church door where the city where he lived in Wittenberg, Germany, the 95 Theses. Now, you probably never heard of the 95 Theses, but they are very important because it started what we call the Reformation, something that changed the church. Now, Martin Luther was getting very upset that people in the church were forgetting and getting all confused and mixed up what was the most important thing to remember about God's love for us. I'm going to show you something else here this morning. This is an illustration of the most important thing Martin Luther wanted us to know about God's love. What is this?
A present.
A present, right. It's a gift. Did you ever get any gifts?
I got one.
You're going to get a gift for your birthday, right? When we get gifts, they're truly a gift. Do we have to do anything to earn them? or deserve them. No, they're just, somebody gave us a gift because they love us. It's free. And we get to open it, right? And get a nice gift that's the inside. Well, God, Martin Luther, in time in his day in the church, people were forgetting that God's love was a free gift. They thought it was, something you had to earn, like money or grades in school or whatever you usually get paid for when you earn. No, it's Martha says, no, it's a free gift, God's love in Jesus Christ. That's what's so important for everybody to remember in the church, because that's how much God loves us. And just like we have fun when you open up a gift, like on your birthday or on Christmas, so it is fun and a joy to open up God's gift of love in Jesus. And that's what we celebrate today. Martin Luther says, we got to remember, it's all about the gift of Jesus' love. That is the most important thing about God and why we come to church. Okay, so let us say a prayer together. Okay, why don't we all stand up here, make a little circle, hold hands. Okay, I'm going to grab Calvin's hand there. Okay, let's do an echo prayer, and you guys can repeat after me, okay? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for Martin Luther.
Thank you for Martin Luther.
And thank you for Jesus.
And thank you for Jesus.
The gift of your love.
The gift of your love.
May we always remember that your gift is free. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, thank you. Take your seat. He only wanted the opportunity to debate his fellow colleagues on the University of Wittenberg staff. He was worried about what was happening in the church. The sale of indulgences seemed to imply that God's forgiveness was for sale, instead of being, as we saw here this morning in a children's message, the free gift of God's mercy in Jesus Christ. So, legend has it, on All Saints' Eve, October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posted 95 theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany. And he simply wanted a debate, a discussion about what was going on in the church at his time. But, as we know, it turned out to be the straw that broke the camel's back. The spark that ignited an explosion that began a revolution that we call the Protestant Reformation. And it splintered the Christian church in the West. And the rest, as they say, is history. That event and the dramatic changes it precipitated, we remember today. It is important to remember this event because the church has always been tempted to forget the gospel, the good news of God's unmerited love for the world in Jesus Christ, and instead replace it with some other gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, Luther insisted, is the very center of the church. Without it, the church is no longer the church. And the church must always keep checking on that message. It must always be in a process of reform, as we say, always reforming the reformed. Drawing on Paul's words in today's second reading from his letter to the Romans, Luther reminds us, here's that phrase, that we are justified by grace through faith because of Christ. Put it another way, justification by faith. And as I like to put it to people, justification by faith is a radical answer to a simple question. And the simple question is this: what do I have to do to be saved? And the answer, nothing. Why? Because God is the one who saves and has done that in Jesus Christ. And we get to believe that good news. We cannot justify ourselves before God. We always fall short. God is the one who justifies. God is the one who makes us right and whole and complete. But justification by faith can just as easily become an empty phrase and a hollow slogan. So to better understand on this Reformation Sunday the significance of that phrase, justification by faith, I want to tell you a story. A story about Martin. Now, Martin was a very sick man. He was afflicted with a disease that was destroying his life. It was the dreaded Yabot's disease. But Martin didn't know it. He thought his Yabot's disease wasn't a disease at all. He thought it was a natural part of life. The signs of Martin's Yabot's disease began to appear when he was a young boy in grade school. In all kinds of Yabot conversations. "Martin," his mother shouted, "did you push over this cookie jar and make this mess on the kitchen floor?" "Yeah," Martin replied, "but someone just freshly waxed the floor, and when I stepped on the chair to get at the cookies, the chair slipped. Yeah, I made the mess, but it's a slippery floor's fault, not mine." "Martin," his father shouted, "did you leave the TV room in a shambles when you went to bed last night?" "Yeah," Martin answered, but I was going to clean it, and I remember that you told me I had to go to bed at 8 o'clock, and it was just 8 o'clock when I thought of it, so I thought I better go to bed, like you said." Martin had lots of these "yeah, but" conversations with his parents. Martin always had an answer. Martin always had an excuse. He always found some way to justify himself. You see, Martin had Yabot's disease. Now, Martin's teachers also got involved in these Yabot conversations. His teacher once asked, "Martin, is it true, do I see, you don't have your math work done?" "Yeah, but it's not my fault. You see, my mother made me clean up the cookie crumbs from the kitchen floor, and that was just when I was working on my math. And if you don't believe me, you could call her and ask." Martin now had a full-fledged case of Yabot's disease. Martin had an excuse for anything and everything. His justifications were always perfectly logical. Martin was never wrong and always right. Just ask him. The problem is that this never being wrong and always being right got to be an obsession with Martin. It was taking over his life and would destroy him if he was not cured of this dreaded disease. Well, one day, when Martin was older, he bought a brand new sports car. His friends, who knew anything about sports cars, were shocked. "Martin, why did you buy this car? Don't you know it's a lemon? I mean, everyone knows that." "Martin, you made a big mistake." "Ah, Is that all you guys know about sports cars? Martin sneered back. I've read all the magazines on this particular model. I've researched it on the internet. This one has got the best rating. It gets more miles per gallon. It handles and accelerates and corners well. It has great interior room. It has fantastic resale value. It... And Martin stopped and thought and thought and thought. And then Martin, thoroughly afflicted with Yabut's disease, made a regrettable decision. Get in! And they got in. And away sped Martin in his new sports car. Up and down the streets he flew, driving like a maniac, weaving his way through traffic, squealing around the corners, screeching away from stoplights. Martin was having the time of his life showing off his car, justifying his choice, proving his friends wrong, defending his freedom, when the familiar sound of a police siren blared behind him. Martin, I'm going to have to ticket you for speeding and reckless driving. Yeah, officer. But I was just giving my friends a ride to show them what a great choice I had made. No, yeah, but Martin, no excuses, said the policeman. You must appear in court before the judge at 9 a.m. Monday morning, either to pay your fine or to contest this ticket. Martin was shattered. He knew the only honest plea he could make was guilty. But people afflicted with Yabut's disease cannot admit their guilt. They can't even say the word. Well, that Monday arrived. Then Martin appeared before the judge. And standing there next to him was his court-appointed defense attorney. Martin didn't even want an attorney. I mean, he wanted to defend himself. He wanted to show the judge how the officer was wrong and he was right. And it even got more confusing when the attorney asked Martin a question and it caught him completely off balance. Martin, are you guilty? I mean, no excuses now. Tell me the truth. And Martin seemed baffled. Yeah, I got caught speeding. I was going a little fast. But you see, I was just showing my friends my new sports car and what a good deal I had made. Stop it, Martin, interrupted the attorney. This is no time for excuses. Face it, you got caught, you are guilty. But Martin shot back. What kind of a defense attorney are you? I mean, you're supposed to defend me, prove my innocence. You want me to admit my guilt without even trying to defend me? Silence. And then the attorney said the word that Martin did not want to hear. Guilty. Oh, this is crazy, said Martin. I'm not going to do this. Then the attorney softly said, I will defend you, but it's not like you think I should. No more yabuts. No more excuses. No way, says Martin. Once a judge hears me admit my guilt, I'm doomed. I mean, he's surely going to find me. He might even put me in jail. No, I can't do it. I can't risk it. This is no defense strategy. I mean, who do you think you are? I mean, do you have some sort of special connection with the judge that I don't know about? I do, said the attorney, not blinking an eye. Martin, demanded the judge, how do you make your plea? Guilty or not guilty? Martin was still unsure. Should he or should he not? Could he really trust this strange strategy of this utterly odd defense attorney? Could his promises be true? Martin, I don't have all day. You're holding up the court. The judge was getting impatient with Martin. Martin, guilty or not guilty? Can I trust him? An insider? Special connections with the judge? sir, I'm guilty as charged. Somehow Martin managed to get the word out. And then the judge said something that utterly shocked him. Yeah, Martin, you are guilty. But I am going to declare you innocent of all charges. And Martin could not believe what he heard. Yeah, but, I mean, that always had been his line. Now the judge is saying it. What is going on here? But how can you declare me innocent, said Martin, of all the charges after you've heard me admit my guilt? With an equally puzzled look on his face, the judge said, but, Martin, didn't you know your defense attorney has inside connections? He is my boy. I mean, anyone who has my boy on his side is okay with this court. Yeah, Martin, you are a traffic offender, but you also have my boy as your defense attorney. I mean, that's all that matters. You can stop the excuse making. You no longer need to defend yourself. You are acquitted of all charges. Case closed. Such words are powerful. They change people's lives. At work the next day, Martin's boss stormed into the office and shouted, "All right, who turned in this lousy piece of work?" Silence. Everyone knew it was Martin. And Martin always had excuses. I mean, it was never his fault, right? Then the workers heard words that they never, ever thought they'd hear fall from Martin's lips. "I did, sir." That weekend, Martin entertained some friends at his home. One of them sarcastically quipped, "Martin, where did you get that TV?" "Oh, from Best Buy." "What did you pay for it?" "Oh, $700, Martin said sheepishly. His friend heard these words with unrestrained glee. "You paid $700 for that? I can't believe it. You got taken. I got one just like it at Walmart for $100 less." And Martin stiffened, and his face turned red, and his friends expected another round of "yah buts." But Martin remembered the words of the judge and his son, and relaxed, and said, "You know, it sounds like you got a really good deal. Better than mine. Congratulations." It was round 20 of a yabut argument with his wife when Martin said something his wife thought would never hear from him, when he said, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me." You see, Martin was free. He had been cured. He was no longer under the deadly hold of yabut's disease, of sin. It had been broken. He was a new man, and the words he heard that day in the courtroom changed his life. That, folks, is the message that Martin Luther sought to recover for the church. That is the message that led him to post those 95 theses on the castle church door. That is the message that needs to be at the center of the church's life and mission in every generation. Christ has cured us of yabut's disease. We no longer need to make excuses. with Christ standing there next to us, the ultimate judge of the universe smiles. And we are free. And the church is the church. Amen. Please rise. And this morning, for our hymn of the day, I'm going to inflict something on all of you.